Hi, friend, and welcome to the Brand Strategy Podcast, a show created to equip you with the inspiration, encouragement, and clarity you need to build the brand of your dreams. I'm your host, Bonnie Bakhtiari, brand designer, strategist, and founder of The Illume Retreat. From sustainable strategy to heartfelt encouragement, each episode is designed to equip you with the tools you need to chase after your dreams. Because you deserve a brand that empowers you to do what you love, connects with your dream clients, and offers a deep sense of fulfillment along the way. So grab a cup of coffee and join me on this journey, won't you? Friends, welcome back to the Brand Strategy Podcast, where today we are talking all about how to consistently land clients as a designer with Steph Wharton. Now, friends, if you have not come across Steph before today, I am so excited for you to get a chance to learn from her as we dive into this conversation. Steph is a hugely talented coach for brand designers, and she specializes in really guiding designers through an approach that helps them stand out authentically from the competition so that they can book out their business and achieve their lifestyle freedom, what they're dreaming of achieving in that way. So Steph, thank you so much for coming on the show and for diving into this conversation with me. I'm so excited to get to have this conversation with you and learn more about you and your journey and how you got to where you are today.
Me too, Bonnie. Thank you so much for that introduction. I really appreciate it. And I'm so excited for today's call and chat because this is honestly one of the coolest things to be able to connect with other creatives, other coaches, and just people that are trying to make an impact in a similar way. So this is, I feel like, just such a good way to connect and to collaborate with other people. To, I guess, introduce myself for those that don't know me. So yes, my name is Steph and I am a coach for designers, but that is not exactly what I did the entire time. I didn't just magically stumble into coaching, and it definitely wasn't something that I had planned. It's not like a lifelong dream or anything, which I think is kind of important to point out because I feel that a lot of us, when we do start our businesses or when we have the idea that we want to start our business, we can put a lot of pressure on ourselves to feel like we have to have the right idea and the perfect offer and the perfect audience and engagement and all that kind of stuff. But really, our journey is ever changing. And to kind of like illustrate that and peel the layers back, I actually had a 9-to-5. I worked as an insurance broker for how long was it? For 6.5 years, almost 7 years. And I thought that was going to be my career, my long-term kind of journey. And things changed. You know, I went through like a bit of a journey where I loved it. Then I didn't love it as much. I had a lot of anxiety, too much workload, all that kind of stuff where it's just, it was getting to be a little bit too much until I stumbled into brand design. So it was one of those things like, I didn't even go from like a 9-to-5 to my coaching career. There were so many layers in between, from the 9-to-5 being an insurance broker, jumping into becoming a brand designer through various courses that I took, through that finding what I thought was my true passion, which was branding, web design, all that stuff. And with time, I realized, wait, I love something way more than this. I love teaching. I love training. I love mentoring and being there to kind of work through struggles and all that kind of stuff. So that's in essence the very windy road that I took. I don't even know how long that took. I want to say my journey started in 2017, but my business actually started in 2018. But in any case, it was just one of those things just ever changing. And now that I found what I like to call my true, true passion, which, side note, who knows, might change. Now, essentially, yes, I coach designers. I help them stand out in an authentic way so they can essentially just book out their business and achieve whatever their dream lifestyle is. If it's a 9-to-5 with a side hustle, awesome. If it's full-time brand designing, amazing. If it's something else, that's perfectly fine. I think we're all unique. We all have our own journeys, and who cares how we get there?
100%. I love that something that you really specialize in when you work with your students through, and to clarify, do you work with designers one-on-one through group program or maybe a mix or something different?
A little bit of everything. I do one-on-one. I just launched a group program this year, and I also have some courses on the side.
Awesome. So many amazing ways for designers to work with you, but what I really love about your approach to education is that you are challenging people to experience and achieve their definition of freedom and a level of freedom in their life and their business. And this is actually something that when we first connected, we connected through Instagram. And when we were first like trading messages back and forth, we got to talking about what freedom can look like. And what I think is so amazing is that you teach people how to experience freedom through their finances, through their lifestyle, through, you know, a lot of different ways. There's not like one set way that people can experience freedom. And I think that that is really incredible because it just speaks so highly to the fact that you want for your students to have a rich and meaningful life, not just a you know, profitable business or a business that looks nice on the outside, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's really important to realize that whether it's freedom or even if it's a lifestyle and freedom is not your focus, that it can look so many different ways. And I know that I've been listening to some of your previous episodes and you've spoken about the whole concept of how you book your clients, booking either 1 month solid with multiple clients, only one, etc. And I think sometimes, whether it's that or something else, we get too sidetracked with what other people are doing. So if they are traveling the world, if they are making six figures, if they are launching a certain type of offer or program, we feel that kind of sense of comparison and of inadequacy, of perhaps we feel like an imposter because we feel that that is the goal, to do the things that other people are doing. And that's really not the case. Like, if being booked out looks like having one client a month, that's being booked out. If being booked out means, yes, traveling and having multiple clients and whatever that could be, then amazing. But essentially, we all have our own definitions of freedom. We have our definitions of being booked out. We have our definition of success based on finances, free time, etc. And I think first establishing that is so important. That way you can start working towards something that you are passionate about and that fulfills you, as opposed to always feeling like an imposter because you're always trying to strive for other people's version of success.
Totally. I could not agree with that more. Something that I really speak about frequently on the podcast, but, you know, really anywhere I show up online, is this idea of pursuing your definition of success. And you hit the nail on the head, Steph, when you said that we might be pursuing a vision of success or a definition of freedom that doesn't actually align with how we experience freedom or how we define success. And so it's so important before we start thinking about how to consistently land clients or what being booked out looks like, it's important for us to almost take a minute, sit with ourselves as designers and think through what we want to be experiencing and what kind of life we want to be living and how our business fits into that. Because like you said, that might look like, you know, taking on just a handful of clients so you have time to travel or time to be present with your family. Or maybe it looks like having a really packed client calendar because you love that kind of creative challenge on a consistent basis. The beautiful thing about that is there's no one size fits all and there's no right or wrong answer, right?
Exactly. Yeah. We got to find what we want and just start putting in the work to get there.
Ooh, yes. Oh, I love that. If I could like pull a quote from this conversation so far, like I want that like on a t-shirt or something.
Get me one of those shirts. I'll wear it every day.
I am totally here for that. Okay. So kind of like building off of this idea of that, like we are as designers or just as a service provider in general, we're interested in building a business that honors our definition of success, our definition of freedom. I know that a big piece of that can manifest itself through having that financial security. And so today we're talking about how to land clients consistently. And I would love to hear a little bit about how you work with designers that you are teaching or coaching. How do you help them increase their bookings in a way that aligns with how they are chasing after freedom?
Oof, that is a very heavy question. And I love it. I feel like first off, it really depends on what people are getting stuck on. So I find that sometimes clients get stuck on their foundation, so their strategy, which, by the way, is one of the reasons that I absolutely love your content, because when it comes to brand strategy specifically, that is what made a huge difference for me going from landing, let's say, $1,000 here and there on average per month to going into those 5K months. It was like night and day. It's just, it's amazing what that confidence that comes through knowing exactly what your plan is, who your ideal client is, your messaging, your positioning, all that kind of stuff, so that everything that you put forward, it just makes sense. It has purpose. So I would say that that's typically something that a lot of the people that I work with struggle with, because they have the design skills, they have that passion, that creativity. However, they haven't really necessarily dug deep enough to understand, okay, so what is my business side going to look at? And I would say that other than strategy, yes, there's a lot of different aspects, like their marketing, perhaps the way that they're booking their clients, they're thinking too short term as opposed to long term. And tied in with that, I would say planning is one of the major things that people aren't perhaps thinking of, because you are used to thinking, okay, let me just land clients and everything else will come. And it's like, well, if you're too busy working with clients, then you're not going to be able to book out your next month and the next one. So I think making a plan, whether it's to figure out how many clients you need for that month, or how you're going to track them, or do you want to launch anything, and kind of planning, whether it's quarter by quarter, year by year, whatever makes sense for you, it just makes a business sustainable. And that's something that, I guess, because we're to some extent wanting to focus on one thing at a time, which means, let's say, just land the client, sometimes we forget about the big picture. And the big picture is what allows us to become even more sustainable and have more purpose and direction. So really, I mean, to summarize, it does vary depending on the designer, but I think planning has a lot to do with it. That way, everything has purpose. Everything you put out there, whether you're doing a lot of things at the same time or just one at a time, you know that your time is being well spent. And I think that's very important.
Ooh, that's hugely important. And I think that it was just so amazing hearing you say that sometimes you work with designers and they are focused on landing clients, but maybe when they get the clients, they don't have the workflow set up to support that influx of work. Or maybe they are so busy working with those new clients that they can't sustain that marketing strategy, that lead generation approach that gets them more clients. And so I really, really respect that planning is such a core part of your approach with every student, every designer that you work with, because obviously we have no idea how to make intentional moves forward if we don't know what it is that we're pursuing, right?
Absolutely. Like, even for myself, there was a time where, I don't know, let's say I wanted to focus on lead generation and I'm like, okay, I'm going to pick Instagram. And I was creating all this content and the content felt good. I'm like, I'm educating, I'm injecting a bit of my personality, whatnot. But that's all I was focusing on. And there was no purpose. There was no start or end. There was no goal. And I think like that what ends up happening is that you put so much content out without purpose that you forget about, okay, if I were to plan it a little bit better, I could have phases, whether that means you're going to focus on education, focus on selling, focus on warming up your audience, whatever that looks like. So then you have a system. And when you have that system, then you feel more confident selling, showing up and talking about your offers, inviting people to join you on discovery calls, sales calls, whatever you want to call them. And essentially, you feel better about it because you see how all the little pieces, whether it's Instagram content or something else, falls in line towards your end goal. And then you can celebrate every mini win that you have along the line and keep yourself motivated to achieve whatever the goal might be, whether that's 5 clients for the month, to whether that's landing a specific client that you've been dreaming about, et cetera, et cetera. It's just so much easier to stay on track as opposed to get burnt out because you feel like you're failing because the content that you're putting out there, because it doesn't have a purpose, it's not giving you the results that you were hoping for.
That's a really, really good point. And you kind of touched on this a little bit already, but it sounds like, okay, if we want to get serious about generating consistent client inquiries, we need to approach that with a plan. We need to be intentional and strategic about what goals we're pursuing, why we're pursuing them, it sounds like. But what are some other mistakes that you see designers make when they try to generate consistent client inquiries?
I would say it's not so much about the generating, but when you do start getting inquiries or you find the clients themselves, one of the biggest mistakes I see is saying yes to everything, essentially. Mm-hmm. And for short-term kind of gratification, it's great because then you land all these clients. But unfortunately, what ends up happening is that either you end up working with people that you don't really have a connection with, that it doesn't quite resonate. Perhaps you're not as excited about the project itself. I'll give a bit of a specific example, and it's a personal one for me and my business. I felt that as a brand designer, I had to offer the standard, let's say, packages. So brand design, web design, even a little bit of like Instagram content, whether it's graphic design or just support, because it's what all of us designers were doing. We're showing up on Instagram. And it just got to the point that I started promoting web design because it made sense. If I'm going to offer it, let me actually talk about it. And I landed a web design client and I got so excited. It was an amazing project. And then through talking about that, I landed another one and another one and another one. And I was like, I came to realize all of a sudden I had, I'm trying to remember, two or three web design clients in the same month, and they were getting delayed because I was getting delay in getting all the content for the designs. And I just realized, I stopped and I was like, I'm not happy. I'm dreading this. I don't like web design. Like, I enjoyed doing my own, but apparently I don't like designing for other people. So, and I'm like, why am I offering web design? I guess at the time I thought I was going to make more money because web designs, you can charge, or it feels like you can charge way more because it's, whether it's more work or just people value it more, whatever that may be. But it was all for the wrong reasons. So I had to just make that decision and just decide, no, I'm not going to offer web design anymore because it doesn't make me happy. And because I'm not happy, I'm not as creative. My work is perhaps not up to my own standards. And at the end of the day, I'm drained. And then I don't have the time to attract the clients that I want to attract. So although me doing that was working because I kept attracting more and more web design clients, it was working in a direction that I just wasn't happy about and that I should have probably realized sooner, but it's okay. I noticed and I stopped it. And now for the most part, I don't offer any web design really.
That's a really great example. And I appreciate you being willing to share something from your own experience, because I think a lot of designers, at least when I look back on my own journey as a designer, there have definitely been seasons of business where I have said yes to projects that I should not have said yes to, you know, but at the time it sounded like a good idea, or I was like, you know, blinded by the shininess of it or something like that. And it ultimately ended up being something that wasn't allowing me to do my best work at my highest level. And that's okay. I like that you shared that as almost a opportunity where you learned from that. And that has influenced the decisions that you've made moving forward in your business. And I mean, did that even play a little bit of a role in helping you make the decision to switch away from taking on one-on-one clients and focusing on teaching and coaching instead?
That's hilarious, because it 100% made me realize essentially what I wanted to do with my business. And I found that, yeah, there was a lot of power in saying no, because I started, I think right after that, there was two specific web design projects that I ended up saying no to. And I was stressed because all of a sudden I'm like, okay, well, that could have been potential income. And now am I even going to make anything this month? But I decided to take the time to sit down and figure out, okay, what am I actually passionate about? And I realized that the projects that I loved the most were the ones where I was actually coaching clients through their strategy, where I was coaching them through how to show up on social media, how to start their own podcast, et cetera, et cetera. And I realized I've actually been teaching / training people my entire life. I just didn't really clue in that I was doing that because I liked it. I just thought it was part of the job, whether that was at my 9-to-5, my part-time job in high school. It was just one of those things that, as a common thread, training always kind of came up to the surface, and it was something that I always dipped into. And I realized I need to do more of this. I can't just do it on the side as like a random offer here and there. I need to focus more on that. And that's what it, like you said, it drove me to plan out the next year's worth of offers and be like, okay, what am I going to do? I'm going to focus more, even more on one-on-one, even more eventually group coaching, which now it's mm-hmm. a thing, courses, etc. And I was like, it's just, it refueled my passion and my excitement for the business, which I didn't even realize I was lacking at that mm-hmm. time. But yeah, it was such a crazy eye-opening moment that saying no to something actually opened me up to the best, I want to say pivot, I guess, of anything in my business. Yeah.
That's amazing. So I feel like in just hearing you share a little bit about that experience and how that was kind of a pivotal moment in deciding what you wanted for your business in the future, I'm hearing that there's a lot of, I mean, obviously there's a lot of power in saying no, but especially as an entrepreneur, when we give ourselves the permission to say no to opportunities, to someone else's definition of freedom or someone else's definition of success, it, you know, we see that big things happen, right?
Absolutely. I think we're sometimes, I won't speak for everybody, but we're too scared to, I guess, take control. And it's kind of funny because we choose to become entrepreneurs so that we don't have a boss, so that we can actually mm-hmm. make our own decisions. But because it's such a new concept for most of us, having never owned businesses before and having perhaps not being taught what entrepreneurship looks like, that mm-hmm. we just fall into the same habits of looking elsewhere for validation, looking elsewhere for guidance as to what to do. And to some extent, there's nothing wrong with that, because you can definitely learn from inspiration, from looking at other people's success. Like, that's essentially the whole model with coaching, mm-hmm. or mentoring, where you're having someone who has been through what you've been through and can guide you along the way and help you through blocks, etc. But to some extent, regardless of whether you're working with somebody to help you or you're just watching somebody's content and absorbing every freebie and piece of whatever it may be that they're putting out there, that's great. But remember to always put it into perspective, because oftentimes we'll have the answers, at least the answers that will make us happy. So we need to remember that and just take control and remember that, yes, we are the CEO mm-hmm. and we can make our own decisions and we'll make the best decisions.
Mm, that's really powerful advice. And I love that you challenged us to really take a minute and in essence, look inward and, you know, assess what progress we're making and maybe even what answers or what insight we already have. We don't necessarily need to always look externally for that kind of affirmation or that kind of wisdom in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think we're much smarter than we give ourselves credit to.
Yeah, I would have to. Oh my gosh, I would totally agree with that. And I think that there's something really beautiful about choosing to back yourself in that way. That's something just in my own journey, not even as an entrepreneur, but just as a human who is committed to continually growing, learning how to trust myself, learning how to give myself permission in a way where I'm not looking externally for that feedback. I'm giving myself that feedback. That has been, just personally in my own journey, a really positive experience. And I would heartily recommend it to anyone and everyone.
Love that.
So kind of along these lines of taking action, giving ourselves the permission to say yes to things, also giving ourselves the permission to say no to things. For designers who are tuning in today and are ready to step into kind of a new season of growth, right? Whether that's to land consistent clients, whether that's to maybe even reconsider their definition of success and reconsider the goals that they're chasing after in Q4 or, you know, Q1 of 2021, which is crazy to think about. What kind of encouragement would you share to the designer who's tuning in today, who's ready to take action into a new season of growth based on this conversation?
I think, honestly, it's to, like, literally take action. I think a lot of I experience this a lot with my clients, and I'm sure I experience it myself too in my own business, right? I feel like with growth, we all step into new challenges and new obstacles. But in any case, sometimes we tend to wait for permission for things. Mm-hmm. We feel like we are not experienced enough. We're not ready to either offer a specific program, package. Perhaps we feel that we're not ready to charge a certain amount, or we're not ready to collaborate with somebody, whatever that can look like, whatever your next kind of dream activity thing to do inside of your business is, you're like, well, I'm not ready. I need to do X, Y, Z before doing that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's not true. Like, we mm-hmm. learn a lot from experience. Even if you look at something, I'll give you a specific example. When it comes to booking out, sometimes we feel like, well, I'm not booked out yet. I can't act a certain way. Like, I'm killing it in my business and I'm this like hot commodity and all that. And it's like, well, but break it down. Like, what does being booked out look like to you? Is it one client a month? Yes. Okay. So if it's one client a month, do you have one client this month? Yes. So can you not tell people you're booked out and then now you're booking in advance? Like, what's stopping you from showing up in a way that, yes, it makes you look good. And if it's booking out and telling people that you are in fact booked out and you don't have any openings until January, then do that. Like, own that confidence and that power and show up as the person that you quote unquote think you are not. It's like, you are a leader. You are amazing. So just do it. Kind of let go of all the random fears, put things into perspective if you need to, and just go ahead and do the things that you need to do that you see other people doing. And you're like, oh, I'm not good enough for that. But honestly, yeah, whether it's saying that you're booked out when you feel like it's not good enough, or reaching out for a collaboration, or engaging with a certain person that you might think is a good client for you to have, like, just start taking the steps. Because sometimes, especially in sales in general, if you don't ask for something, you're not going to get it, or mm-hmm. it might magically land on your lap, right? But why wait for a what if you can just say hello, raise your hand, and ask the universe for what's yours?
That is genius advice. Steph, thank you so much for sharing that with us and for being willing to help us in a lot of ways reframe what we're pursuing as designers. So I know that we started this conversation talking about, you know, generating consistent client inquiries and landing clients in that way. But I really have loved how the conversation organically has taken us to a lot of different points of not just focusing solely on, marketing, but helping us think through planning, through setting clear intentions, you know, thinking through ways to give ourselves that permission and validation, and then following up with that amazing reminder to take action. I've loved having this conversation with you, and I am sure that people who've been tuning in today have been loving it too. So, out of curiosity, where can people find you and connect with you online?
I would say the best place is probably Instagram, and that's really just the handle is Steph_Wharton_. But otherwise, mm-hmm. my website, that has access to email, anything else, any other methods of connecting with me, which is stephwharton.com.
Awesome. And friends, those who are tuning in today, as always, I will have all of Steph's links in the show notes for today's episode. So if you just head to brandstrategypodcast.com and click on the latest episode link, then you will be taken right where you need to go to not only see the recap and the notes from today's conversation, but also quick access to all those links so that you can connect with Steph and follow along with her and her journey online. So Steph, again, thank you so much for coming on the show and having this conversation with me. It's been such a joy getting to chat with you.
Oh, thank you so much, Bonnie. This has been a lot of fun, and I can't wait to listen to the episode itself. I'm going to sit there with a glass of wine and just enjoy it for the second round.
Oh, I love it. I am going to be, you know, definitely like sitting there with a glass of wine myself, because you can never go wrong with a good old glass of red, in my opinion.
Agreed. Red all the way, or sangria.
Ooh, I like it. Well, friends, thanks so much for tuning in to today's episode, and I cannot wait to catch you next time.
Thank you so much for joining me today, friend. Before you go, I would be so grateful to receive your feedback on the Brand Strategy Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, or the podcast in general has helped you grow your brand, I'd really appreciate it if you left us a review in iTunes.
Your positive reviews enable the Brand Strategy Podcast to continue to grow and reach like-minded creatives just like you. Plus, I'll be randomly selecting a handful of lucky reviewers each month to receive a little thank you surprise from me in the mail. Thank you for all your support and encouragement as together we pursue building brands with purpose and intention. Until next time, I'm cheering you on from Waco.